listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio, where we answer your questions from a Bible-believing, God-trusting, Pauline perspective.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us this week as Pastor Justin Johnson of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship answers your questions from the Bible. If you have Bible questions that you would like to have answered on Grace Ambassadors Radio, please visit our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. But in the meantime, stay with us to hear Pastor Justin Johnson answer today's questions from the perspective of the Bible, rightly divided.
You grew up in a Catholic church, but stopped when it started to interfere with the ballgame. When you got married, you started going to the Baptist church down the road because you needed a pastor to perform the ceremony. Now that you have children, you started going to a non-denominational church because they had a better basketball court. But now your wife attends a charismatic church, and you stay home listening to ESPN Radio. Maybe you've been there and done that with churches, hopping from one to the next. Maybe you've never settled down because church never really made sense to you, and you had doubts and questions that weren't ever answered by the pastor. Well, you've never been to Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship. We teach Mid-Acts Pauline Dispensational Rite Division. We don't pass a collection plate. We don't beg for money. We don't jump the pew. We don't spend all morning singing and waving our hands at the clouds. Instead, we give an entire hour each Sunday morning to address your questions about the Bible. We take God's Word and actually apply it to current events. And we don't shy away from talking about the controversies. This is what you'll find at Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship at 6281 South, 900 West, Swayze, Indiana. You're welcome to come out and study with us and get your questions answered at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning. Or come out on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock where we study the Bible verse by verse. Or listen to us online at graceambassadors.com.
Grace Ambassadors Radio is a ministry of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship in Swayze, Indiana, where every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. an entire hour is dedicated to answering people's questions about God and the Bible. While priority is always given to the questions of people in attendance there at the meeting, sometimes we bring up questions that have been asked by people who contact us through the mail or our website, graceambassadors.com. Today on Grace Ambassadors Radio, we are featuring a segment of one of those 10 o'clock question and answer sessions at Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship, where the question was asked, what happens if a person who believes the gospel later rejects it? Let's listen to Pastor Justin Johnson's response to this important question.
If a person once believed in the Bible and the finished work of Christ on the cross, but decided that it was all a scam, if they die with this thinking, are they still saved? And people have this question of, you know, once saved, always saved. Is it true or is it not? And how do we know? First of all, the Bible teaches us that we are not God, right? That's the first thing we need to learn from the Scripture. A couple years back, we did a seminar on the most important things you learn from the Bible. And the first lesson was, you and God are not the same. You think differently. And so you are not God, is what the Bible teaches. That means you're not the one who saves. So you can't look at someone and say, you're saved, you're not, you're saved, you're not. And we don't do that. That's not our job. You know, we're not the role of judge. We don't pass the sentence. God does that. And that should be comforting to people. When you don't understand how someone could be saved, God does. And he's the one that does save. Now, he has revealed through his word to us in this dispensation how he saves humanity by his grace, which again is encouraging, because if his salvation is by grace and not of works, then we know it's certainly not anything that we've done, right? Because Romans 1 through 3 proves that we're all sinners, none of us are righteous, and none of us can stand before God and say, well, I'm not that bad, you know, and I did more good than bad, I'm a decent person. None of us are decent people in the eyes of a holy, just, perfectly pure God, and we're all sinners and unrighteous, okay? So salvation is necessary by his grace. He must give grace to save. If he doesn't, there's no way we can be saved. And the truth and the good news of the gospel of God's grace is that that's what he's done. He has done the work for us. That's what grace means, is that he does the work that we can't do or that we don't deserve. And his grace, gracious work, is found in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so Romans 3 describes that, how Jesus Christ died on the cross as a propitiation, the satisfaction, the atonement for sins. And it's through faith in his blood, it's you believing in him, that you have salvation. And so that's how we get peace with God. So that's the simple gospel of grace. And we have to start with that, because when someone's asking, you know, if I get saved and then I choose to reject the Lord or something, am I still saved? We have to know what it means to be saved. Well, salvation is you not doing anything. Salvation is Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sins, him offering, after he resurrected from the dead, his finished work, his substitution, his atonement for your sins, for your sake. Your faith in it, God counts as righteousness. And so when you believe on the cross work of Christ, the Lord takes your sins, imputes them, that is, counts them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are forgiven. And then the Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness is then imputed to you. That is, it's reckoned on your account. That does not say that you have been righteous your whole life. No, we've already determined you're unrighteous. But Christ's righteousness in your place is now imputed to you. And so that's how God can look at a sinner and say, I will accept him in Christ. It's not, I will accept the sinner. It's not, I will accept this person in Christ who died for them. So that is the gospel. Now, the question on the table is, if someone is saved, can they reject the gospel and then lose it? It's the same question, by the way, as someone who, a holiness teacher, may present it this way and say, well, if you've ever received the Lord or accepted Christ or made Jesus Lord of your life, which we've covered all of those false gospel presentations the last month or so, and then there happens to be a point in their life when they fall away from the faith or fall from grace or commit some sin or fall out of fellowship with the Lord, you know, have they lost their salvation at this point, right? Do they have to rededicate, recommit, rebelieve, remake Lord of their life? And of course, you realize that's not the case at all. If you did nothing to deserve or to earn or to attribute salvation to yourself, there's nothing you can do to lose it. By do, I mean do. Your actions don't accomplish salvation, so then why would your actions then annul salvation? Do you see the dilemma there? So your actions don't pay for it. Your actions don't release it from you. And so that will give a lot of comfort to you who are constantly focused on your actions to be pleasing to God for salvation, to try to satisfy him for salvation. So there's no such thing as the Christian satisfying God by their own works and him going, you're accepted because all the good works you did. God never does that to us sinners. He looks at us only in Christ or not. The only difference in the judicial eyes of God between a saved person and an unsaved person is that one is in Christ and the other is not. It has nothing to do with how many or what kind of works they've done. And that takes faith to believe and understand, because when we look at each other, we want to make judgments at people based on what we see, right? And so we say, well, we know that they're worse than that person, and we know that they're better than that person, and we want to make judgments that way. That is not how God judges. Okay, God does not judge men, respecting men, by their works. And that is because none of us in the end can pay for our salvation. So they're all counted in sin. So that's significant. And yet the person who has that idea that, well, I'm glad that I don't have to constantly climb a ladder of good works to maintain my salvation, they at least still have faith in God, right? Even the person who thinks that their works may attribute something, we can correct them and say, your works do nothing for your salvation. And the whole time they had faith in God. But the second question arises, what about the person who stops having faith in God, which is the question you asked? It's not just the person who does some bad work. Have they lost it? We already covered that doesn't mean anything to your salvation. You did bad works when God saved you. Why would doing bad works when he saved you go back and change the past? But anyway, to the person who doesn't have faith anymore, you say, well, salvation is by grace through faith. And faith is a requirement for God to forgive your sins, to belief in him, Romans 3:25 says. It's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ we have peace with God, Romans 5:1. So your faith, it's important to understand, is not a work. Romans 4:5 says, to him that worketh not but believes on him that justifies the ungodly. So that verse tells us that faith is not a work. Faith is just simply your response to Christ's work on your behalf. Okay? And so faith is not a work in that regard. Neither is faith meritorious to you. God doesn't look at you and say, what a good boy, he has faith in me. You know, it is simply the positive affirmation of your desire of salvation through God's provision. That's all it is. It's not God looking at you and saying, well, he's worse than that person because he doesn't have faith and he has faith. Right? Faith is not meritorious to you. Salvation is by grace. Salvation is by Christ Jesus and his work. Faith is simply your response to it. That is the moment in time in your faith when God applies salvation to you. Okay? But again, moving back to our original question, what happens to the person who doesn't have faith anymore? As the emailer said, they think it's all a scam. I'm no longer a Christian. I'm a Hindu or I'm an atheist. So they say, I was a Christian before, but now I'm no longer a Christian. I don't believe. I don't have faith. And I got to preface this response as I did to the emailer that emailed me with, I've never seen that happen. I've never seen that happen. I just spent 10 minutes explaining very clearly the gospel of the grace of God. Very clearly what it was and what it wasn't. And I made it certain to make sure you understood it was not your works. It was not what you did and how you lived your life. And there's no difference between the people who go to church that are saved, people who go to church who are not, based on their works. It's those who are in Christ and those who are not in Christ by faith. Okay, God judges that way. He judges, he can only save people if they are in Christ, accepted in the Beloved. And so we have to preface with the thing that I've never seen that happen, where someone who says, I was a Christian and now no longer a Christian. I've never seen it where I've asked this person, oh, you're a Christian. What kind of Christian were you? What did you believe as a Christian? And they never have responded with the clear gospel of the grace of God. Never. They say, I went to a church, or, you know, I knew about Christ's death for me, you know, that sort of thing. But they never explained that they trusted us. They never explained the clear gospel. It wasn't of works. They always justify their departure from Christianity, typically. Maybe you had different experiences than I do, based upon the hypocrisy they see in Christianity, based on the confusions in the Bible, based on their being dissuaded the Bible is not accurate in every word that's in it, you know, whether it be creation or whether it be in other supposed mistakes in the Bible. It's for these reasons that they lack certainty about Christianity. We just simply cannot know that God even exists anymore because they heard some atheist cry out how, philosophically speaking, we can't prove there's God and whatever else. And so they get persuaded by this. And thus they make the choice that, well, I'm just not going to be a Christian anymore. It's never, yeah, I trusted God's word to be true and trusted that Christ died for my sins and it was nothing I did. And I understand salvation as it regards to people who say that they're saved but are not and people who are saved by God's grace. I've never heard that. Maybe I don't get out much and maybe you have heard that. Okay, and we'll get to that here in a moment, but I have never heard that. Typically, people who were former Christians were in a system of works in one way or another. Either evangelicalism, who taught it was your lifestyle, faith and works, or Roman Catholicism, who teaches a whole system of works. It's not grace alone, faith alone. And people depart that sort of Christianity and say, oh yeah, I was a Christian. What kind of Christian were you? I was a Catholic. I was raised Catholic, went to a Catholic church, and you know, of course there they teach faith and works. And so they left. Why? The scandals in the church or whatever the reason it was. Okay, so if we're talking about someone who is truly trusting the gospel and truly saved, and again, we're not the judge, right? God is. But if they have a testimony as clear as you ever heard, wow, that sounds like you really understood the gospel. That you trusted the gospel. You must have faith that. But now you're an atheist, you say? Now you don't believe? And the question is, well, what happened to them? Did they reverse salvation? Now, the question you got to ask yourself is, what happens when you get saved? Salvation, being a Christian, and by that I mean truly being saved, not just calling yourself one, is not simply signing up for a club for eternity. It's not, okay, God, I'll join you. I'll follow you. Which, again, going back to my previous statement, that's what I think happens a lot. People say, well, I'll follow Jesus, and I love the Lord, and I follow him. And then one day they decide not to follow him. Right? Because that's what they think being a Christian is, following Jesus or loving the Lord. So when they stop loving him, they stop being a Christian. Well, neither one of those makes you a Christian. So, I don't even know if they were a Christian in the first place. If they thought being a Christian was following Jesus. Because, yeah, one day they decide not to follow Jesus, and apparently they don't follow Jesus anymore. They were unsaved before, they're unsaved now. There's no difference. You say, it is such a thing that a lot of people who call themselves Christians are not saved. I told you all before what I asked people at the fair. When I asked everybody if they're a Christian, they say, yes, I'm a Christian, because 90% of people in America call themselves Christians. And then I asked them if they believe that 90% of people in America are Christians. And inevitably, everybody goes, no, not that many people are Christians because culture is so bad, you know, and this sort of reason. I ask them what the difference is, and they always respond with a works thing. Not everybody's a Christian because they don't vote the right way or they don't live the right way or they don't make the right choices. That's why they're not a Christian. And that tells me they're not a Christian, right? Because when they're responding with what makes a Christian and what doesn't by the way they live their life, that's not God's grace. They're trusting the way they live their life.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, Pastor Justin Johnson will finish his response to what happens if a person who believes the gospel later rejects it. You're listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio.
And it's yours free.
Yay!
With any size donation. It's free if you buy one at regular price. It's free for the first month. It's free when you sign up for our... It's buy one, get one.
Feel like you're being baited every time you turn around?
Uh-huh.
It seems like there's always a catch if you don't read the fine print. You can't believe everyone when they say something's free, but you should believe me when I tell you about two free things I want you to have today. Why believe me? Because I don't get any money from you receiving these free gifts. We have no paid sponsors. There are no commercials on Grace Ambassadors Radio. We're not trying to sell you anything. Everything in this program is already paid for in full, which brings me to the first gift, your salvation. Salvation is free because Christ has already paid for it by dying on the cross for your sins. You can be certainly saved for free right where you sit by trusting Christ's payment for your sins. Trust his resurrection, and you can claim eternal life and salvation for free through Jesus Christ. The second thing for free that I want to give you is a free book called Start Rightly Dividing, and one copy is yours for free. No strings attached, no bait, no switch, just free. You just tell me where to send it. Or you can stop by if you want Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship. It's in Swayze, Indiana. Pick it up for yourself. All the books there are free. However you get it, it's totally free and completely paid for by Grace Ambassadors Radio, even the shipping and handling. We won't ask you to sign up for anything, give anything. We won't ask you to attend anywhere. We won't even follow up to see if you liked it. It's just plain free. I know it's hard to believe what you hear on the radio, but I want you to know the privilege of having free salvation by learning it for yourself in the Bible Rightly Divided. Trust Jesus Christ, he paid for your sins, and learn how to start rightly dividing by claiming your free book. Write me at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, or visit our website at graceambassadorsradio.com.
Here's what people are saying about Mid-Acts Pauline Right Division.
When I learned how to rightly divide the Bible, I realized for the first time that I truly am at peace with God through what Jesus Christ did on the cross.
Studying and learning God's Word rightly divided has helped me to realize how important it is to know sound doctrine.
When I came to rightly dividing the Word, everything just fell in place.
True comfort and peace come from knowing what God is doing today, and I don't have to wonder anymore because He's revealed it in His Word.
Right division has changed my understanding of Christianity and the Bible.
I was a very dedicated Christian before I learned right division, but when I learned right division, it completely changed my life.
Learn more about Mid-Acts Pauline Right Division at graceambassadorsradio.com. You're listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio, and today we're broadcasting a portion of our Sunday morning 10 o'clock question and answer session at Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship, where Pastor Justin Johnson answers the question, what happens if a person who believes the gospel later rejects it? Let's listen to the conclusion of Pastor Justin Johnson's response.
So you have someone who believes the gospel that as clearly as you've ever heard a testimony, and as far as you can know, wow, it sounds like they were a saved person, but now they're claiming to be an atheist. What has happened to them? When you get saved, it's not signing up for some sort of eternal retirement plan. What happens when you put your faith in the gospel, according to Romans 3 and Romans 4 and Romans 5 and Romans 6, is that God crucifies your old man. And Titus 3 says he regenerates you and puts you into this spiritual body called the body of Christ. He makes you a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things become new. So unbeknownst to you, the moment you believed, when someone preached to you that you're a sinner and you need salvation, and God's provided salvation in Jesus Christ, you believed that, but you didn't know the rest of your Bible. Unbeknownst to you, Ephesians 1:13 says, when you trusted the gospel, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. A promise of God is what the Holy Spirit represents in you. So you have the Holy Spirit of promise, your old man has been crucified, you've been regenerated, part of a new creature of the body of Christ, right? God forgives your sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, Colossians 1 verse 14. I mean, there's a litany of things that happen to you and that are attributed to you and, that you didn't even know about when you trusted the gospel, if you trusted the gospel. That's why that's contingent on that. And then to say that, well, I'm no longer going to believe, and therefore all of those things that God did to me must be reversed. That's presumption. That I don't know how that even happens. I don't see that anywhere in the Bible, of God resurrecting an old man, crucifying a new man, unforgiving your sins, taking you out of the body of Christ. I don't see that anywhere in the Scripture. I do see people who are under a covenant that are obligated to do works to get a future salvation. And their future destiny is determined based on how they keep the covenant. That's Israel. And if they keep the covenant, they're in that promise of salvation. If they don't, they're not in that promise of salvation. I see that. But that is not what you have. You're not under a covenant. Okay? You have no promise and covenant of salvation. You're sinners, that God's offering salvation by grace, and if you trust the gospel of grace, he does a work with you right now. Romans 5:11, that's one of the benefits and the riches of God's grace, is that he does the work already. It's already done. You no longer have to wait for it. That's why in Paul's epistles alone, you find this teaching of that we're the walking dead. You know, we're dead yet alive, Paul says in Galatians 2:20. Well, how can that be? Because you've already been crucified in Christ, right? So to say that some future choice you make, to say, well, I'm not going to trust the Lord anymore, I'm not going to church anymore, I'm not going to try to do good anymore, I don't want to believe in Jesus, I hate God now, you know, if this is your decision in the future from this moment, what is God supposed to do? Well, I saved him by my grace, and now because of looks like he's rebelling against me now, I guess I'll crucify his new man, take him out of the body of Christ, you know, resurrect his old man, put him back in his sinful condition, you know, unforgive his sins, even though I forgave them not by his works in the first place. I mean, this doesn't make any sense at all. And so the question, you know, it has a simple answer when you understand the gospel of the grace of God. If you don't understand the true gospel, it's not as simple of an answer. Because it's following Jesus, if it's loving the Lord, then if someone stops loving the Lord, are they saved or are they not? If you go to 1 Timothy chapter, is it 1 Timothy 2? No, it's 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, help me out, verse 12 and 13. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. That's an interesting thing. So Paul is most definitely in the context here talking about service. He's not talking about the gospel presentation, but rather people serving the Lord or working for the Lord. And so he says in verse 11, it's a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall live with him. That's, of course, Romans 6. That's after you know the gospel. If you're dead with him, you're going to live with him. Right? That's your position in Christ. If we suffer, which is different than just your position being dead in him, if you're suffering in service to him, so you're suffering in this life, whether it be the natural suffering you have, or more specifically, you're suffering for the Lord. You know, Paul says, all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so when you're out there making known with boldness the gospel of grace and teaching Jesus Christ alone, there will be resistance, mostly from religious people. And when you face that sort of suffering, when people's heads are cut off for naming the Lord Jesus Christ and things like that, it says here, we shall reign with him. So there's a promise that your suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in you. And so you will face, you are promised a glorification. And so whatever suffering happens to you up to death, I mean, you could die, and what's worse in this life than not living anymore? You know, maybe living and suffering. But either one, your suffering, says, is just a drop in the pan compared to the amount of glory you're going to receive as promised by your salvation in Christ Jesus. Okay, so there we have a promise of future glory and reigning through suffering. But then at the end of verse 12, it says, if we deny him, he also deny us. The denying there has to do not with Aaron rejecting the Lord, but rather denying of service. If you suffer, or if you deny suffering, deny that the service. And I'm going to live a comfortable life as much as I can in any way that I suffer. That's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay far away from suffering as I can, which means I'm not going to preach the gospel. I'm not going to do anything that would cause me injury. Well, if you deny him service, he's going to deny you reign in heaven. So we have the idea that once we're saved, it's not our works that save us, but most definitely our works do matter for service to the Lord. You see, how you operate in this life can affect other people getting saved, other people being edified, and things like this. And so we have this here where you face a judgment based on that. Now, verse 13, if we believe not, yet he abides faithful. That has to do with a saved person who lacks faith. Remember the guy said to the Lord Jesus Christ, help my unbelief. Remember that? He said, help my unbelief. And so here is not the, and I don't even think it's specifically talking about the question we're asking, even though we can read that into it. I don't think it's here talking about someone who believed and now they say they don't believe anymore. This is simply someone who believes and does not believe the things the Lord has said about them. They believe the gospel, they're a saved person. Verse 13 says, he abides faithful. And so, for example, Colossians 2 verse 10 says, you're complete in Christ. Okay, most of you know that, Colossians 2 verse 10. It's a comfort to all of you, knowing there's nothing else you have to do. You're complete in him. Right, but if you do not know that verse, does it make it less true? If you do not know Ephesians 1:13, I mean, we went through the litany of things that happened to you when you're saved. You may not have heard some of those before, but if you don't know them, do they make them less true? Well, the answer is no. And so the fact that you do not believe thus and so, does not mean God's not faithful to do it. For a good example of this may be Calvinists. I don't know if all Calvinists are saved. I would not say all Calvinists are unsaved, right? Surely, you know Calvinists who very much emphasize and preach and trust the grace of God and what Christ did on the cross. And that's salvation. If God knows their heart and they truly believe that, they're saved, you know. And yet, they also believe in fruit inspection. You know, believe that if you don't show yourself by your fruits, then you probably were never elect to begin with, you know. Well, the fact they don't understand their complete position in Christ, does this mean that they're not complete in Christ? I mean, they're going to learn that, you know, they're complete in Christ. So what are they talking about this fruit inspection all the time? You know, so it's just kind of a wasted emphasis, you know. So I think that's what it's talking about here. But it does apply to our question in that if someone believes not, it's not their lack of belief. It's what God does. And God is faithful to do what he said. And if God saves you, and so if I'm saved is the premise to the question. Yes, if you're saved, if you know the gospel. If God has put you in Christ and he's made all the changes to you that he promised to you upon salvation, then he is faithful. He doesn't not do what he said he would do. You say, well, I don't believe anymore. Well, he's faithful, you see. And if you're a member of the body of Christ, that last part of that verse really has an interesting sentiment. Because if you're a member of his body, the verse says he cannot deny himself. Now, you take that two ways. One is that he cannot deny his own nature. God is not a liar. God does not take back what he promised. But secondly, if you're a member of his body, the spiritual lesson from this is that he's not going to cut off his arm. You're part of his body. And so you are not the picture of a tree where God cuts off bad branches. Paul describes you as a picture of his body. And he can't deny himself. So that's an interesting application. So that's a lengthy response. But I think a good question, as people have the question, and it tells me that, again, I don't claim to know whether someone's saved or not. But it tells me they lack some understanding about what happens at salvation. You know, so it's good to go through that. The third question you may have after hearing that, you know, well, once you're saved, if God truly saves you, you truly know the gospel, and you reject God, what motivation is there to do right? Right? If you're not ever going to lose what God has done to you, done for you, then what's the motivation? What's our why ought we do anything? Because when you have that third question, that means you understand. When you have that question, you understand what grace means. Grace means it's not you, it's God. Grace means he's done it all. That means you're secure based on what he did, not on what you did. So that should bring you to Romans 6 and the question Paul asks, shall we continue in sin?
And of course, Paul provides the answer to that question in Romans 6 by saying, God forbid, we should not continue in sin. If you have any questions or comments about what you heard on today's episode of Grace Ambassadors Radio, please visit our website at graceambassadorsradio.com and submit your questions or comments there and let us know you heard this episode. You can also give us a phone call at 528-828-1177 and you can leave a voicemail there and we'll get back in touch with you about your questions. Or you can write us a letter at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana 46936. You're listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio.
Want to learn more about Mid-Axe Pauline Bible-believing Christianity? You can listen to all of our programs archived online at graceambassadorsradio.com. But don't just listen. I want your feedback. Go to our website and ask your questions. Tell me what you liked about this program. Tell me if you're confused about the Bible. Tell me how good-looking I am. Or tell me off. Whatever your reaction, I want to hear from you. If you'd rather write me a letter, you can send your questions and comments to P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, the only Swayze in the world. Our website is graceambassadorsradio.com, and we go to the post office every week to hear from you at Grace Ambassadors Radio at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, 46986.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Grace Ambassadors Radio, a ministry of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship in Swayze, Indiana. To learn more about our ministry or to submit your Bible questions to be answered on the air, please visit our website at graceambassadorsradio.com. That's graceambassadorsradio.com.